Schubert's Mass in Major G, and we encourage your participation in those parts of the liturgy that are printed in the bulletin. But much of the liturgy will also be the chorale and the musicians leading us in worship and our praise of God. So thank you to all of you in the balcony for your extra efforts at preparing this worship service today. And a special welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home. Let us stand for our opening hymn. Now all the vault of heaven resounds.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know your goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The reading for today comes from Acts, the 11th chapter. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners. And it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must now not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea that arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord.
On this, the fifth Sunday of Easter, you're about to hear a portion of the reading from Maundy Thursday, the night Jesus gathered with his disciples to share the Passover meal, the night where the gospel writer describes how Jesus took on the posture of a slave as he stooped down to wash his disciples' feet. And this was the night of Jesus' betrayal. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Judas, the one who would betray him, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Surely some of you will remember youth group trips to Camp Lutherwood or camps much like it. Mine was weekend retreats at El Camino Pines in California. At the end of the day, we'd gather in a circle around the campfire and sing, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Truth be told, it all seemed so simple back then. I can still recall how I felt whenever I found myself surrounded by my friends up on that mountaintop, standing shoulder to shoulder, swaying and singing around the campfire. Like so many others who describe such mountaintop experiences as these times when they felt closest to God. Times when they're out in nature, away from the constant noise and the city lights, where the fire crackles and stars seem to dance in the night sky, and they breathe in the fresh, brisk air of the day. Fresh air, unpolluted air. Often there's a profound feeling of the vastness of God's creation. But for me, it was in those times that there was also the pure joy of having a heart full of God's gift of love and acceptance. And so it seemed to me that living into this vision of Jesus' command to love one another was not only the right thing to do, it was the only thing to do. And in those moments, it actually felt possible. Until we came back down from the mountain. Until life returned to normal. Until we would re-engage with the real world where it's hard to love those who don't agree with you. Where it's hard to love those who think more highly of themselves than they ought. Where it's hard to love those who are different from us. Where it's hard to not to be influenced by the negativity of those around us. Where it's hard to love the unlovable. And so all too quickly I would rediscover just how hard it is to sing, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love, when I was all by myself. God knows we need each other. We need each other. To his disciples, all 12 of them, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Some might wonder, what's new in this command that Jesus is giving? The one he gave to his disciples, that they are to love one another. And first, I'd like you to notice that it's a command, not a suggestion. It's a command, love one another. What's new in this command that Jesus gives to his disciples to love one another is he says, just as I have loved you. That's how they're to love one another. Just as Jesus has loved them. And surely this side of the cross, we've come to know just how much Jesus loved them and how much Jesus loves us and all of creation, all people in all times and in all places. Sacrificially, humbly, unconditionally. Truly, God's love knows no bounds. Jesus demonstrates this love by taking on the posture of a lowly servant, by stooping down and washing the feet of his disciples. He pours out his love indiscriminately, without bias. He loves without expectation of anything in return. He loves even those who betray him, deny him, abandon him, mock him, flog him, spit on him, curse him, forsake him. He humbles himself and becomes obedient to death, even death on a cross. And now Jesus is calling us to love one another just as he loved us. By this, Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Without question, this command to love one another just as Jesus loved us is hard work. It's difficult work. And the realist in me would go as far to say it's downright impossible. Yet our faith teaches us that with God all things are possible. My former bishop, Chris Berger, once reminded a gathered assembly like this, saying, "We are beloved children of God. We come to the Lord's table in need of forgiveness and reconciliation so that we can love one another. We come to worship, to be changed by God's Spirit working in us." So I remind you this day, you are God's beloved. You are children of God. Today you will be fed once again at the Lord's Supper, where you receive forgiveness for your sins, and where together we who are broken are being reconciled to God and to one another so that we can love one another. And finally, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. God is working in you, in all of us together, that which is well-pleasing in God's sight. So let us love one another just as Christ loves us. And let that love spill over to include those whom God places on our path, wherever we go, as we go out in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Yeah.
with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Loving God, lead us to follow Jesus' new command to love one another just as he loves us. Be with our synod gathered in assembly this weekend, and help us as your church to witness to your Spirit at work. Bless the music ministry of this congregation and all who share their gifts. To you be glory and honor. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Inspire us to praise you through the beauty and majesty of your creation. Urge us toward more deliberate care of all that your hands have made. Help us to steward the earth and all that you have entrusted to us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Humble the rulers of nations and all who hold positions of power and authority. Guide them and us to work in harmony as we strive for peace and justice in all the earth. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Place holy love at the center of all our relationships and in our communities. By your love, heal us, convict us, and renew us. Open our hearts and minds to faithful living and generous giving. Let everyone we encounter come to know your goodness by the love we show one another. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hasten to dwell among those who are in pain or distress, and bring comfort to any in need of your healing. Today we remember before you Joshua Chamness, Terry Chapp, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Carolyn Evans, Claudia Hardwick, Joy Lathrop, Doug Martin, Dave Prescott, and Marilyn Collison. For whom or what else do the people pray? For all these we've named aloud, and for those we hold in our hearts, and those known only to you, we pray. God, in your mercy, give us a place in the diverse company of your beloved saints. Teach us the value of each person's identity, and bless us with a shared identity as your children, kindred of Christ. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always. Our worship continues as we receive the morning offerings and sing together, Christ be our light.
Please stand as you're able. Let us pray. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed together in your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself for us to take away our sin, and by dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. As soon as we're worship leaders are in place, we'll invite you to come forward down the center aisle and return by the side aisles. A word for those who may have difficulty coming forward. We can come to you. At the end, I'll be looking out to see who might be still needing to be served. And just so you also know, our musicians and chorale and everyone in the balcony will be served communion between services. And so these gifts are blessed for them as well. Come, for all is now ready. It is Christ who bids you come. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Living God, you have greeted us in our brokenness and nourished us with the body of Christ broken for us. Risen to new life with you, send us now to bury your healing love into the world. In the name of our risen Savior and Lord, amen. Before I pronounce the benediction, I just have a few words. First, thank you to all of those who are joining us today as guests. We are glad that you're here with us. For those who are members, we have an important meeting coming up on June 5th. At that meeting, we will be bringing forth Vicar Ben Nicodemus's name to serve as Central's associate pastor. And so as we issue that call, it's needing an affirmation of the community in order to do that. We need a quorum of members present. The meeting will take place immediately following this service on June 5th, so 9:45. Those who worship with us at the later service will be invited to come early at 9:45. The meeting will be called to order. The call will be issued, and then we will vote, and then we will vote on the compensation package for Pastor Ben Nicodemus, if the call is approved. Assuming that, then we will issue the call, and Ben will have June to think about that and prayerfully consider it. And I think he's already been prayerfully considering it, and it would be an affirmative acceptance on his part. But having said that, it's important that we have that quorum and we're present for that meeting. We will also offer a Zoom link, but as many people as able to be in the parish hall for that meeting would be important. And just a note that Vicar Ben, Deacon Claire, and our delegates that are at Synod Assembly this weekend, Chris Henry, Jill Lidke, and John Sherson. The Synod Assembly is meeting in Sun River. I was with them on Friday and Saturday and wanted to return here today to be with you and to celebrate with you this wonderful gift of our choir and leading us in worship. Can we thank them? And now, as you're able, I invite you to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, "When in Our Music God is Glorified." Thank you. We are the body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.